are living in an increasingly divided culture. When it comes to politics, race, sex, and a host of other issues, common ground is harder to find. Sometimes those with the deepest convictions seem to lack civility, and sometimes the most civil seem to lack conviction. How can we positively engage the diverse viewpoints all around us and bear faithful witness to Jesus Christ? Join us as we look at navigating the divide.
Well, good morning, Sunrise. I want to start out with a couple of personal items. Believe it or not, it has been a year since I went skiing and fell and ended up breaking my left acetabulum. It's part of the hip, and underwent surgery and couldn't walk for a couple of months. So I want to just report that I haven't fallen in weeks. It's been great. I want to thank you for being such a patient and flexible, gracious congregation. Thank you for your texts and prayers and emails and meals. And as tough as that period was, one of the real blessings of God in it is really deepened our connection with a lot of people in the church, folks that came by and brought meals and so. So just really grateful for you. Grateful for our staff that served valiantly in kind of a tough season. And thank you for being understanding with them. Just kind of where I'm at now, I have a little bit of pain every day and every night, probably just be kind of a part of life for a while. It feels better when I'm active, so walking and hiking, biking and so forth, just make that feel a little bit better. So talking to my surgeon, and he said, given your injury and your surgery, your recovery experience is really phenomenal. You're like way over here on any graph. And I said, well, the people of God are praying, and I think that's a big factor. So just want to mark that year and tell you thank you for walking through that with us. Another personal item, I want to report that I am winning the Zand Family March Madness basketball pool right now. And I am so excited because Elise is the reigning champion in our home. She's won the last couple years. So it's a little early. We'll see what happens. She picks by the uniforms, I think. And she beats the rest of us. So we'll just figure out what happens in a few weeks. Hey, we are wrapping up in this week and next week our sermon series called The Divide. And we are challenging one another to be, on the one hand, people of deep conviction, but also people of compassion and civility. And we're doing that because we believe that we are living in a divisive time, and that divisiveness is partly a product of chronic disrespect. Disrespect is something you can find so easily in our culture these days. Disrespect for women has been on the increase in a lot of different ways, and that's one of the dynamics behind the whole Me Too movement. Social media posts are often now anti-social, actually pushing people away from one another rather than bringing them together. But there is something that any one of us can do in response to this divisiveness. It is simply this: to give respect. Respect engenders respect. If you respect a person, they will tend to respect you back. And respect is something that actually heals divides. It actually brings people together. And it actually makes us, the word I'm going to use today is sticky, in a good way. We tend to stick one to another. If you're sticky with other people, that's a good thing. Other people can learn from you. You can learn from other people. The life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ can flow through your relational network if you are a sticky kind of person. And to symbolize this today, we're going to be handing out pieces of double-sided tape. So this is kind of like our candlelight service. If you've been to one of those, we're going to just pass some tape dispensers. Thank you, Chanel, for getting that started. And I'm asking you to just pull off an inch or two of double-sided tape if you are in for increasing respect. What I'm asking you to do is put that on your sleeve, or maybe if you've got short sleeves, you can put it on the back of your hand. You don't really need that extra hair right there anyway. If that's not your cup of tea, you can pull out your smartphone and kind of stick it on the back of your phone as a reminder that every day, in every interaction you have, you can choose the degree of respect you want to deliver to whomever is in front of you. It's a big deal. And we are not the very first people in this world to live in a divisive time. The Roman Emperor Nero and the Apostle Peter, they lived at the same time in 62 AD. It was not a democracy, let me tell you. Nero was a barbarian. He did unspeakable things to Christians, including burning them alive. And in that context, the Apostle Peter wrote these words: submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Would you let that sink in? Can you imagine the courage it took to write that? Not as just a nice idea sitting in a library somewhere, but knowing that the king, if you will, could kill you with impunity. Can you imagine the courage it took to live that? Behind submit is the word upotasso in Greek. It's a military term. It means to rank under. Peter voluntarily placed himself under other people. And so can you. And so can I. We can voluntarily choose to submit, to respect, to honor our coaches, our teachers, our supervisors, our co-workers, our life group leader, that sheriff's deputy when the lights are on behind you and you're driving. We can pay our taxes, not for the sake of the school and not for the sake of the church, not for the sake of the government and not for the sake of the individual temporarily occupying that governmental post. What does it say? For the Lord's sake, for Jesus' sake, for God's sake. Submit. Respect every human authority. We do it because they're creatures of God. They're made by God. Did you know that regardless of the convictions you might engage with other people, regardless of their behavior or their beliefs, whether they come across to you well or not so well, whether you line up or don't, every person that you interact with is God's creation. They're a creature of God. Behind them, regardless of their behavior, is God. And we can respect them because God made them. You may disagree with people, and at times we should, but we may not be disagreeable as a character quality because that's so disrespectful. Upotasso, submitting, is one of those things that makes us sticky in a world where people are just peeling off left and right. Paul put it this way when he wrote Titus: remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. Does that sound like a good encouragement for our current age? How are you doing on being subject to others? It's not popular, it's not common, but it is Christian. Peter continues, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. We would probably all believe that behavior beats talk any day. We can always outbehave the talk of other people. That's what Paul's talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He reminds young people to not let other people look down on you by virtue of your behavior. Outbehave them, so that you would silence their foolish talk. Say what they will, it won't stick because of your behavior. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. You know, we belong to Christ. We have a freedom not for evil, not to despise our detractors, not to label others, not to retaliate or escalate, not to lash out, not to sink to another person's level, but to live a life devoted to God. That's our freedom. And in Nero's brutal reign, Peter could write that no matter the provocation, we should show proper respect to everyone. Doesn't that sound like an antidote to our divisive time? Elise had a routine medical checkup just recently, and she came home raving about her doctor. She said her doctor, a female, calls her ma'am, and she loves that. I'm going to try that at home, see what works. After the consultation, her doctor actually sits down in front of her and says, "What else would you like to talk about?" And that so impacted Elise, that little gesture. She said, she came home and told me, if she wasn't my doctor, I would want to make her my friend. I don't know what pressure that doctor is under to see so many patients or to move through the list of people that have appointments and so, but she's taking a risk at the end of every appointment to say, "What else?" And to sit down and listen. It's respect. It's needed today. It's something we can give today. The Bible says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Can I get an amen? That's important, isn't it? As followers of Christ, we have biblical responsibilities to God, to those outside the church, to those to the state, but also to each other. And let me tell you, if Peter could call Christians in that so difficult of an environment, I'm sure we're called to nothing less. The solution to this divisiveness problem starts with me. It starts with us right here. We can respect people because God's created them in His own image. That person has intrinsic value. So in a sense, did you know that who we respect isn't really a choice that we get to make? We believe in a God who created everyone. Because God's behind everyone, sinner or saint, we need to respect everyone always, even at sunrise. Years ago, we went through an experience together about 4 years ago, where we began to pray and listen. We had town hall meetings, and we had a discernment process related to a sunrise vision statement. And God clearly led us. I remember those days. We had hundreds of people involved, and hundreds of cards were turned in. And it led us to this vision statement that to follow Jesus Christ, to become a new kind of person, saved and sanctified, to belong deeply to one another, and then to turn and pivot and look into our community and our world and to seek to bless people that we don't even know. And today I want to talk about that aspect of belonging. Friends, there are people in our congregation who know that they belong to Jesus and that they belong to Christ. They're Christians, but sometimes they don't feel that they belong at sunrise. As your pastor, that grieves me. It tells me we've got some work to do, church. For years, we have had more older adults than younger adults. At Sunrise, there are more adults that are over the age of 45 than there are adults that are younger than 45. We have more classes and activities for adults that are over the age of 45 than we do for adults that are younger than age 45. And yet we're called to minister faithfully to people at every stage and every age, from the cradle to the doorstep of heaven. So a couple of years ago, we started talking about reaching the next two generations. You might have seen a Sunrise Focus statement. It involves thinking about people that are ages 25 to 45 and their children that might be ages 0 to 18. And we wanted to be sure that we were providing a viable and vibrant ministry to people at that spot in life. But for some people, hearing that communicated felt very threatening. And I regret that. I take full responsibility for that. There are people involved in our church today who were involved in the very earliest days. They can remember when Sunrise wasn't even named Sunrise and was seven people in a Bible study. And they can tell you the stories. And I celebrate with them those reminders of how people came to Christ and were discipled up, how they had their marriages strengthened, how they were blessed in the raising of their children. How they gave and they worshiped and they went on mission trips and six different churches were planted and numerous missionaries and pastors have gone on from our church to lead tremendous ministries. grieves my heart that someone with that experience could wonder if sunrise is still for them. Everyone's welcome at sunrise. Sunrise is for Jesus and all Jesus' people. There is another feeling, though, among some of our older and veteran members. There is a deep sense of resolve. There is a commitment, a passion, that we must reach the next generations. I've heard us say it, and I've seen us live it. It's in those town hall meetings when people spoke about reaching young families, about reaching into our community. And just think about it, for any church, what would happen over time if we did not reach younger families? What would happen over time if we didn't reach into our community? I am so glad for this godly and generous resolve. Sunrise is a place to heal, a place that feels like home, and there are so many that want that experience for other people. At the same time, there are younger adults at our church and in the room right now, in their 20s and 30s, maybe beyond. They come to Sunrise and they look around and they wonder, do I belong? Where are the other 20-somethings and the other 30-somethings? Is Sunrise a place for me? And they might be involved with getting married or starting a family or seeing their career begin to develop. And they want to have those experiences in the context of a deep and personal, authentic spiritual community. And I want that for them. Both groups belong to Christ. And both groups belong at Sunrise. God's already united us through Christ. We only need to maintain that unity by respecting one another, by sticking together. So would you join me in being so respectful to one another, wherever we're coming from, whatever service we're in, that we would stick? You know, how many people know my friend Iola? Yeah. I'm not making this up, so I wrote this sermon. And then Iola comes up to me before the first service and she says, Derek, I'm so excited. We've launched a new ministry. I'm right in the middle of it. It's called Young Single Professionals. Iola's in her 90s. See, that's just the thing we're looking for. That's someone who says, you know, I've been here a long time and my own, I'm over here, but I love people over here. That's what we're looking for. Our pastoral staff talks about the direction of sunrise from time to time. Later, there's a phrase that we've been kicking around. It's this, that Sunrise is an intergenerational family of disciples, making disciples for Jesus Christ. I'd love to know what you think about that statement. I want to unpack it for just a few moments. Intergenerational is different than multi-generational. Multi means many. Certainly we have many generations in our church. But God's building an intergenerational family where those many generations are interwoven, they're integrated, they're mixed. They come together as one, like my friend Iola is doing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have your own class, but it does mean you're going to be especially blessed if you're able to get out of that class from time to time and connect with people that are at another spot on the roadmap of life. Sunrise is one intergenerational family only because we all are disciples, followers, apprentices, a little Christs who are seeking to make disciples for Christ here and everywhere we go. So we're not just old and we're not just young. We aren't even here for ourselves. Amen? Amen? We're here for Jesus Christ. We're here for people who aren't here yet. And my friends, that excites me. An intergenerational family of disciples making disciples for Jesus Christ. So I'm calling us today to respect the family of believers. Our elders who are part of the beginning and growth of Sunrise, God has used them to build a wonderful church, to respect young people. They are the hope of carrying the gospel forward into an ever-changing culture. And here's a sign of how that respect can kind of work out. It's a motto that maybe all of us could embrace. It's simply this, less me and more we. Isn't that right? Less me and more we. I suppose it's only human nature that our services would be met with people's different preferences. You know, I get people commenting to me all about, you know, lights and sound and all kinds of details that they would like adjusted. Sometimes I think what people would really like is an app on our smartphones. You know what we could call that app? The Church of Me. A free app that you could download. The Church of Me, the church we all want to go to. You could open up that app and you could make the settings. You could say, I'd like the lighting to be set at this level. I'd like the volume at this level. I would like these kinds of songs, and you could just tap and pick them. I would like the sermon to last only this long. I'd like the sermon to be serious, biblical, exegetical, and very deep. I'd like the sermon to be kind of funny, light, motivational, and make me feel a certain way. We'd all like to have that app, but in His wisdom, God's never going to allow us to have the Church of Me app, because the church isn't for me. The church isn't even really for us. We are for God. We gather in His name, celebrating what He's done in us, to worship Him, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be changed, and to be sent out in His name, to be a kind of people like no other in a really fallen and broken world. You know, I'm aware that when we gather, some people here, they value quiet, still reverence. I get that. I respect that, and I appreciate that. There are other people in the room who value courageous, outspoken, raw authenticity. There's some people who view church as a refuge, a safe, familiar place to gather and have community and worship. There's other people who view the church as a missional tribe that comes together temporarily, that's at its best when it's scattered and sent into a dying, needy world. There's nothing wrong, technically, biblically, with any of those views, but there's very much wrong with demanding them. Christ didn't come for Himself. Paul didn't come for Himself. We don't gather for ourselves. Less me, more we. That's what that little piece of tape means. That you want to be the kind of person that helps hold people together. Infants in the nursery, 90-year-olds in the service, less me and more we. Wouldn't it be great to get that right here? Sunrise, the incubator, and they'd be able to export that attitude into our world. Imagine the breaches, the divides that we could heal. Walking around, respecting everybody like double-sided pieces of tape, helping other people stick together because we've figured out how to stick together. The currents of disrespect are now so strong in our culture that I thought it would probably be a good idea to share some very practical steps that any one of us could take to simply respect everyone always. Now, maybe you caught this from your parents or grandparents. Blessed are you. But it turns out a lot of us need reminding. This list is based on a list shared by pastor and author Bill Hybels of the Willow Creek Church in the Chicago area. So I'm asking you, church, I'm asking you, man of God, I'm asking you, woman of God, would you decide today to set the example wherever you are by adopting this list for yourself? Are you ready? How to respect everyone always? Set an example on how to differ with others without demonizing them. Having a different view is not necessarily immoral. It's not necessarily wrong. It is sometimes just different. There are even in the Bible what the Bible calls disputable matters. There are things not worth fighting over. Set the example of how to have spirited conversations that are sincere, authentic, animated, fired up, without drawing blood. Without getting personal. Don't interrupt others when you're talking. Don't dominate a conversation, especially if you have some degree of power. If maybe you're a little taller than the other person, Maybe you're the supervisor. Maybe you're higher up the organizational chart than another person. Set the example of limiting your volume level and refusing to use incendiary or belittling words that are just guaranteed to derail a conversation. My personal conviction, I believe there are words that Christians should just never say. Not just profanity, but sexual innuendo or certain kinds of put-downs and so. It just doesn't edify. It's hard for me to see Christ being a part of that. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Before we speak, especially if it's kind of a loaded, charged situation, we can say, does this benefit this person or is this just for me? You can set the example of being courteous in word and deed to everyone at every level. Jesus Christ was a manual laborer. Paul mended tents. We can respect everyone, regardless of their vocation or social station. Never stereotype. Isn't it amazing that the person is always more dynamic, always more interesting than a mere label? You can apologize immediately when you're wrong. Just decide you're going to be that kind of person, quick to apologize. You can form opinions carefully, not venting, and stay open-minded to better information, because better information may come along. You can set the example of showing up when you say you will and following through on what you say you will do. Behavior communicates respect just as much as any set of words. Anticipate and communicate. Give people the time and opportunity to think, to choose, to respond. Don't jam people up. Don't tie people up with a lot of information at the last minute. You can set the standard of respect for everyone around you. Wouldn't it be great if the people of Sunrise Community Church were known as people who respected everyone always? What do you think, church? That was a golf clap right there. No matter how someone treats you, no matter their beliefs, no matter their behavior, you are called to respect. Because that person, wayward sinner, maybe someone running towards Nero, is one of God's creations. Now, some of you are thinking, you know, Derek, I appreciate you've kind of got a lot of different generations here, an intergenerational family, disciples making disciples. That all sounds good. Derek, my struggle isn't at church. It's great for me at church. My struggle is at work. I go to work. You want to talk about a toxic environment? You want to talk about a place of disrespect and division? Oh, my gosh. Experts point out that just about every working person experiences incivility in their workplace, which is why Christine Porath has written a book called Mastering Civility. It's a manifesto for the workplace. Experts estimate now that 25% of disrespected workers will take out their frustration on customers. That explains a lot, doesn't it? So if you're leading something, maybe your family or a life group or a class or a school or a work team, did you know you can create your own civility code? Christine Porath talks about some very basic things. She talks about raising our chin when we greet people, about making eye contact, about remembering a name, about saying please and thank you. Does anything here sound familiar? Did any of us learn this growing up? And yet this is the kind of stuff that needs to be taught today. We can be direct and honest, but also sensitive to people. Let me ask you, if you live with other people, would you be helped by talking about the norms for your home? If you're in a life group, would you be helped by taking one session out of the whole year to say, hey, let's just get clear on our norms. What are we all agreeing to in terms of confidentiality or a commitment to show up or vulnerability or sharing airtime so one or two people don't just dominate the whole thing? If you're part of a group that works outside your home, would you and your colleagues ever benefit from a conversation about civility in the workplace? If the environment around you is not all it could be, this book could help. And today somebody's going to get a copy. Michael, are you ready? All right. Good catch, Michael. You know what I've learned about people at Sunrise? They can catch. You guys do awesome. Way to go, Michael. Hey, to kind of help us just ground these principles into our hearts, we've been looking at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It's really a fantastic nugget of scripture. Would you say it aloud with me? Let's start with the reference and end that way. Ready? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15. It goes a long way, friends. Recently, we had an opportunity with a survey instrument to talk with someone that might be sort of across a divide from us. And here's some of the things that we learned together. What are the greatest needs in our community? People talked about the roads. Surprise, surprise, right? Traffic. Others talked about security and homelessness. How can Christians better serve? People talked again about homeless people, about drugs. One said, why don't you invite us to a service? A person that I interviewed said, why didn't you tell me sooner about increase the all-church worship night? Wanted to attend that. How was this experience for you? One person wrote, really good. I'm newly retired, but have lived in the same neighborhood more than 35 years, and now I know more of my neighbors. What did you learn? The people see our community needs in a variety of ways, some just physical, some more social and spiritual. And how might you apply what you learned? To better communicate with others outside of Christ and to invite people to Sunrise Reach events just like we have with our kids' Easter egg hunt or even Easter morning.